Now, a few weeks ago, this was in March, we spoke to industrial designer Max Besler and spoke to him specifically about this product that he and some colleagues at Chrome Cherry Design Studio had developed. It's called the Nemino Loop, but other people have now called it the Lego tape. That's what they call it, Lego tape. But this Nemino Loop, essentially, it's flexible. It's very flexible silicone tape, which can interact with Lego blocks, Mega blocks, etc. And the prototype was showcased on the crowdfunding website Indiegogo, and it was hugely successful. And their product is scheduled for release in July. Except there are already knockoffs out there. If you go to some of those well-known Chinese websites, you will find a similar product being sold there. These people move very, very fast. And I'm joined by Jaco Krier. Jaco Krier is the CEO of Chrome Cherry Design Studio. Jaco, great having you on the show.
Good morning. Thank you for calling in and allowing me this moment to discuss the knockoffs with you.
Perfect. And I believe it's been, there are lots of people who've been very interested in your product and you guys. So obviously it's been a hit more than just from consumers. I believe businesses as well, very keen. But Jaco, already you can go onto some of those Chinese-based sites and find the knockoffs. Your response to that?
It's expected. We knew from past experience that if you have a successful product, it does get knocked off really quickly. It's worse than the Chinese websites. It's even on big websites like Amazon.com in America, on eBay, Etsy. Yes, correct. They move really fast, and there are some players in the industry who really know how to make use of a very short window of opportunity, and they jump at it.
So they've obviously got the equipment, but I mean, you've got the rights to this particular product, I would imagine, when it comes to just copywriting it and having all the IP rights, etc. to this. You are the only people in the world that should be allowed to be designing this, correct?
Correct, yes. We're sitting with more than 25 various patents, being design patents, utility patents, copyright patents. And we are in the process of daily for the past 6 weeks. We take down people who sell the product online. We take them on Alibaba. We take them on Amazon. Yeah, it's quite a full day's work every day to get rid of the copies.
Now, Jaco, I would imagine you're not a massive business making hundreds of millions of rand every year just yet. So these sort of things, these type of cases that you need to fight if you use the legal route, surely should cost you an arm and a leg if you know what attorneys cost.
It is hugely expensive, but fortunately, it goes hand in hand. If you have a very successful product on a Kickstarter or Indiegogo, you do get the funds to be able to fight this. And, of course, it is then worth fighting.
Yeah.
So, yes, it costs us a lot of money. It's cost us a lot of money in the past 2 months. And will continue to cost us a lot of money. But it's clearing up, and we manage to hold them back, and we manage to fight them off. So, and it's all about the bigger territories, America and Europe, and not so much about smaller unknown countries and small shops. It's the big retailers that we're after, and they are scared of the knockoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, Jaco, and the other thing is I just wish that some attorneys could come together and offer pro bono trademark services and then maybe take a percentage of the winnings at the end of the day as opposed to charging up front. But I've also got Christine Strutt. Christine Strutt is the head of trademarks at Von Saddles. And Christine, I believe you guys are aware of this. Just your take on this. I mean, what are the steps that get followed when people in China or anywhere around the world knock off a product like this that is trademarked but then get sold on various reputable websites? Good morning.
Morning, Kino. Hi, Jaco. Yes, the problem with such a successful product, particularly on an Indiegogo or any crowdfunding campaign, is that much like the product developer gains insight into the market preferences and is able to gauge the likely success of a product, of course, so too can the counterfeiters. So it's much easier for them to target particular products and perhaps even launch them before the rights owner gets their product to market, which is the case with the Nemunia Loops. You know, it is easier if the product is simple to manufacture and they've got the correct tooling and capabilities to do so. But I must be honest, we've even seen imitations of, you know, software products and cell phones and very high-tech products. So it's not really just your simpler manufacturing product. It's actually all dependent on what the infringer is capable of manufacturing.
How successful are you, though, when it comes to taking on those companies, especially in China? One would imagine that China is more and more becoming part of the world, an important part of this world, and they, I would imagine, don't want to be seen as merely knock-off specialists.
Absolutely. You know, the Chinese government attaches great importance to IP. One of their 13th five-year plan actually includes as a goal that China must become an IP powerhouse. So we've really seen a shift in their mindset from, you know, being an economy that imports a lot of foreign technology to one that is actually based on local innovation. Mm. And because of that, their government recognizes that they need to respect and enforce the IP rights of even foreign rights holders. So we actually have a lot of positive experiences on internet sites, enforcing patents, that sort of thing. You know, China's fast becoming the biggest filer of IP in the world. Yeah. And that's, you know, increasing by about 35% year on year. So we've had very positive experience there, even though some people in the market still perceive them as a bit of a copycat region. That's not really the case. Definitely a positive shift happening in China.
So in terms of this particular knockoff at the moment, I know you guys represent Chrome Cherry Design Studios. Mm-hmm. How far are you with the process?
So in China, the problem often is language. And the second problem is the delay between filing for your IP rights and then actually achieving them. And that's worldwide. Mm. So because this, you know, product was so successful so quickly, we were still waiting for a lot of the rights to be finalized. Now, luckily, we are at that point now. But in the interim, we had to rely on unregistered copyright. And for that, we had to actually get people in China to assist us with translating our claims, because obviously conveying in English where the copyright really lies is quite difficult to an examiner in China who's sitting with Alibaba's enforcement team and having to consider your complaint. But the moment you cross that bridge, or the moment the IP right is clear, we find they're very helpful. And to date, we've had 100% success rate for Nemunia Loops takedowns. The unfortunate thing is, as you take one down, five more come up. So it's a continuous exercise, like Yaku says, and we actually have teams that just monitor these sites on a daily basis and do routine takedowns.
Yep.
The positive thing is, once you've got a repeat offender, you can actually cancel their entire account, and people are hesitant to lose their trading accounts.
Yep.
So you do find that they steer away from your product if you are persistent with these complaints.
Brilliant. Now, Christina, quick one. Yesterday we spoke, someone called in and said, Kino, because the Competition Commission is looking into collusion within the schooling system when it comes to school uniforms, etc. And someone said, school badges, are they trademarked? I mean, is there, you know, are they trademarked, and can we copy them so that we can create cheaper badges for our shirts, for example?
You know, there are two obvious IP rights that pertain to school badges. Now, the first is copyright, and that actually subsists automatically whenever a design or image is reduced to a tangible or digital form. And that right belongs to the creator of that design until 50 years after the year in which they've died.
Okay.
So a lot of school badges, particularly the newer ones, would still be subject to copyright, and it's very likely that that copyright has been assigned or transferred over to the school. So they would have the right to actually enforce the copyright and object to these type of reproductions. The second IP right is trademark rights. So the trademark protects anything that is capable of serving as a source of origin. And in the case of school badges, we can all say that that's definitely the case. You know the school by the badge, by the name of the school. So it's very easy to say that the school has a particular reputation in that badge, and it's easy for them to enforce it, even if they haven't registered the trademark. Okay. Some schools actually innovate that protection, and they go ahead and register with the CIPC. Mm. And I did a quick search last night, and I was surprised. There are schools, particularly the more newly established schools, that have very solid trademark portfolios. So they would have an additional right by being able to claim trademark infringement if someone did reproduce and reapply their school badges to other forms of clothing or bags or even sports objects.
Brilliant. Christine Strutt, thank you very much. Head of Trademarks at Von Sadels, and they're representing Chrome Cherry as well.